I want you to think of our Savior hanging on a cross, blood dripping from His brow, the pain pulsing through His body, and Him looking down and saying, I did it for you. I want you to erase every image of what you need to do when you leave here. I want you to forget about getting to Wendy's before the rest of the crowd, because you're not getting out early today, I can tell you that. I want you to think about Him. It's all about Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today. Lord, we lift up the name of Emmy Marie Staples, who's 1 month old, needs prayer, but Lord, You're touching her. She's getting better, and we continue to lift her up. We pray for Vivian Carson, Dot Dixon's sister, for healing. We pray for Given Curry for a good report. We pray for Danny McClister for continued healing. We pray for Jacob Hadley for healing. For Jim and Jan Hadley for wisdom. We pray for Dimple Buck for healing. Robert and Donnie Taylor for salvation. We pray for Miriam Hughes for unspoken. We pray, Lord, for healing. We already spoke for Dot's sister. We pray for, Lord, we pray that, we thank You. We thank You that when Jimmy Dow fell off of his horse, that he was not injured worse than he was, and that, Lord, he is feeling better today, and He's already thanked You for that. Amen. We pray that Lane was not hurt when he fell. Lord, we pray for Kenny Powell, Shirley's husband. We pray, Lord, that You will touch his body. Heal that sickness, that infirmity. We pray for the family of Jane Squires. I pray for my Aunt Lena, who is here with us today, for healing in her foot and her leg. And Father, I praise You for allowing me to have my family here today with me. What a blessing it has been. I know we all have unsaved loved ones. Lift that hand up now if you have an unsaved loved one that you want to see God touch and move in their life. I cannot believe I don't see every hand in this place going up. Dear God, I ask You, You know each and every person who has an unsaved loved one in this place. And Lord, we lift them up to You right now. We ask, Lord, that You move in a mighty way that only You can move. We ask You, Lord, that You will just continue to move in the lives of those who still do not know You. Father, I have one more request. Lane Bird, Lord, has cancer, and we pray for that healing as well. And Lord, for all those out there who have unspoken prayers, we lift those up to You because You know what they are. Most of all, Lord, we thank You. Lord, that we are even here today, we thank You. We thank You for our salvation. We thank You that we live in a country where we can still, at least for now, come and praise and worship the name of Jesus Christ and not be persecuted for it. We thank You for the many blessings which we take for granted. It's in Jesus' name we now pray. Amen. Before we begin, I want to bring a gentleman up here that if you've ever gone out to our website, you can thank him. If you've ever gone out and listened to the live streaming, you can thank him. If you've ever gone out, and especially now, if you went out and used the water in the restrooms and it's warm again, you can thank him. So come on up here, Glenn. Well, do we have one that's still on? Do we have a microphone? What's that?
Off the piano.
Okay. Glenn said he wanted to sing a solo today. Most of you know Glenn, but if you don't, this is Glenn Seaton, and he's going to tell you about his ministry today.
My ministry, I guess, is the online ministry. It's the website I use to post the bulletins and the pastor's message. Also, we've had nuggets of life thing, different from Shirley and others. And all that stuff is online. The current messages are what's posted when you look for the pastor's message, or you look at the nuggets that you can search. If you remember a nugget or a message that you liked, there's a search option, you can go find it. From there, we can also, there's a calendar we've just added, so now the church calendar is online, so you can see all the events we got planned, current and future. It's a lot of things there. Please take a look. I'm always looking for suggestions, how to search it and find things. If it's not obvious, please let me know. It's obvious to me because I built it, but it may not be obvious to everyone else. I also take care of the live streaming, as almost all of you know. And the little blue thing up in the corner is a camera, and it only looks at the stage, not everybody else, so don't panic. Anyway.
Thank you, Glenn. Now, those are the things he takes credit for, but I can personally guarantee you he does so much more than that. He's our resident plumber, as we found out during the work day. He helped us install our new water heater, and we thank God for that. As well as anything dealing with computers, Glenn's our man. He has done so much for this church, and it's just been such a blessing to the church. You know, as I said, I wanted us to start knowing who these people are in our church and what ministries are available. So by all means, folks, if you have not visited the website, go check it out. And as Glenn said, he's always open to suggestions. If you'd like to see something added, if he can do it and it's going to benefit the church, he'll do it. I'll guarantee that. So again, we thank you, Glenn. I'm going to go ahead at this time and release the children for Children's Church. And praise God, there goes half the congregation. That's our future there. We got a herd of them, don't we?
Yes.
Praise God. You know what? We can rent them out real cheap. And on a bad day, I'm sure the parents will flat give them out. I want to thank everyone for being here today. You know what? I failed. I really did. Goodness, how can I not remember in our prayer request to remember our pastor? I mean, he's here today, but remember to continue to pray for our pastor. He's making great progress, but he has days where he's up and he has days where he's down. And so just continue to remember to pray for him and ask God to lift him up. There's a story of a young seminary student who was given the chance to preach his first sermon after many years of schooling. They finally opened up the pulpit to him, and he had intended to tell the congregation how he had been called to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. In his anxiousness, however, he misspoke and said he was here to heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devil. I know exactly how he feels. This morning I went to introduce my family to Miss Nola and called her Lydie. Called my mother Lillian. I couldn't remember anybody's name. I know their family though. I do know that. But it's one of those times where it just doesn't work. Between the mind and the mouth, it somewhere gets a disconnect. I have many times said things, and after it was over, Jody will say, "Do you know that you said this?" And then you get that look up. Oh no, that's not what I meant. Or you give a scripture, and then you quote the reference, and they aren't anywhere close to each other. And you just go, well, hopefully they got the scripture at least. We all tend to say things that we don't mean. Maybe it's a slip of the tongue. Maybe it's perhaps inadvertent forgetfulness, you know. Not intention. Maybe it's just we forget the commitments that we make. It's a busy world. Sometimes it's by repeating things that others have said that we've overheard. But what we've got to do is we've got to be sure that when we hear things, especially pertaining to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we compare those things to the scriptures. You know, the Bereans were known for that. That if something was said, they then took it and they compared it to the scriptures. And we need to make sure that we as Christians do the same thing. It's so easy to say something and later on find out, oh man, that wasn't right. I've done it before. What we need to do in that case is to go to that person and say, look, John, hey man, the other day, you know, I said yada, 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 whatever it may be, and I found out it's not correct. Or, you know, I was saying this about the Bible, and you know what? That's wrong. I found out that the Bible, it actually says this. So I apologize for that. Now, why is that important? One, it gives us credibility. You know, there's nothing worse than tearing down the credibility of Jesus Christ because of the fact that we are too proud to go back. And what did Sister Laverne say about pride? That's one of those things we need to get rid of. They say pride is the one poison that is best swallowed. Chew on that one a while. So it's one of those deals to where we have to go back and admit, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. But when we do that, we glorify God in being able to humble ourselves and say, I was wrong. And we're giving out good information when we do that. And you say, okay, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I'll tell you. It has everything to do with it because, for one thing, how are we to overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if our testimony is not accurate, what's it saying? The God we serve is not accurate? No, unfortunately, it's just that we're flawed. So we need to make sure and make sure our testimony is correct. Now, you may say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, you know, it's one thing to sit and give a testimony to how God has saved us. That's the easy part. But sometimes, like with me, I get excited. And what I mean to say and what actually comes out is something totally different. Well, let me ask you a question. What about we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we pray and we believe, and God does a miraculous thing, and then we walk on like business as usual? Really? Really? Hold on. My son has been sick. I have asked the church to pray for my son. If God doesn't touch him, he's going to die. And God touches him. And we walk away and say, you know what? The doctor said that he was going to die, but they were wrong. What? Do you think that Christians just have so much time on their hands that when you call them up and say, look, my boy's really going to die if God doesn't touch him? Do you think that they have so much time that they're waiting by the phone for somebody to call them to take part of their day away so that they can stop what they're doing to send up a prayer for your child? I don't think so. Believe you me, if you believe that, go look at their schedule. They're always doing something. And he's supposed to be sick, but he don't know it yet. The fact is, we all have stuff to do. But when God moves on our behalf of our prayers, are we not supposed to glorify him? People are watching us. They are watching us like a hawk. Those who believe, those who don't believe. How will they react when that boss yells at them? How will they react when they come under an attack? Whether it's spiritual, physical, financial. How do they react when God answers their prayers? Wow. You know, that brings me to the story of the gentleman in the Bible in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. You know, sometimes when God answers our prayers and he heals our bodies or he does something to answer our prayers, we kind of get the modern day thought, about time, dude. Yeah, about time. I mean, you know how long I've been praying? Really? You can call on God and give him that attitude? That's a dangerous place to be. How about this one? Someone says, will you pray for my son or my daughter or this situation? Will you pray for them? And then they call you up and they say, you are not going to believe it. God answered my prayers. And I go, are you serious? I'm a pastor and I still do it. Really? Oh, glory to God. Why? My doubt. I know he can do it, but sometimes I pray for people and I say, but is he? That's a bad place to be. But you know what? As long as I walk in this flesh, sometimes I'm going to have doubts and fears just like everybody else. But the amazing thing is God knows where we are. What would happen if we didn't pray? What would happen if someone says, you know, my son's so sick. What are you telling me for? Aren't you a Christian? Yeah. Pray for yourself. Not my problem. Oh, no. No. Maybe when we pray for that person, even though maybe we lack the true faith, we have just enough to believe that God will do it. And that's why he honors that. You see, many times what did we hear? It just takes walking through the open door. Many times it just takes us to take action. And you know what? Stepping out and saying that prayer for someone is enough of an act of faith that sometimes God honors that. And sometimes the hindrance is not God, it's us. In Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17, I want you to go with me there. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop, let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who could forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house. What's that last part? Glorifying God. Let's camp here for a minute. He was teaching, and who was there? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Heal who? Who was the power of the Lord there to heal? He was there to heal all. Oh, now hold on. You don't mean the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I mean that. How much faith does it take to say, "Hey, guess what? I heard there's a healing service. Come and we'll go to it." Well, it takes a little faith. Not a tremendous amount, but it takes some. But how much faith does it take that when you get there with your friend, with your wife, with your child, and you see, "I'm sorry, we're full. Really. You can't take any more in? He is sick. He needs help. I'm sorry. Sold out." That you climb up on top of the house, tear off the roof, and lower that man down because he's going to get his healing. Now, I'm thinking we're taking a little bit more faith here. I believe all of a sudden you got serious about getting this man healed. Can you do it? No, but your act of faith can do it. What? You know what? I want some friends like these guys. I want these kind of people hanging around me. When I get sick, I want these people hanging around me because I know they're going to get me to God. "Oh, well, brother, we'll pray for you. Oh, God, heal him. Amen." No, no, no. That's not what these guys say. Come on. "What do you mean we can't take him in?" That's fine. No problem. "You know what? I know a way around. Let's go on back. Okay, let's go up these stairs here. All right. Oh, it's a tile roof. No problem. Let's take it off." I'm seeing Jesus sitting there talking, teaching the people, and all of a sudden stuff starts falling from the ceiling. And he glances up, and I have to believe, and this is the scripture according to Tim Cooper, I have to believe the Spirit of God just rose up in him and just, he had to have smiled. Because he said, "Here is an act of faith. They are not settling for what the world says. They are not settling for what they see. Somebody's going to get healed tonight." I want some friends like that. Let's rewind for a second. It talks about this man being healed. What about the rest of those who were there? What'd they come for? What'd they come for? Why didn't they get healed? We don't know that they didn't. We know they all didn't. Maybe it was a lack of faith. Maybe they said, you know, I'll go check it out. Oh, man, did you see that? That guy got lowered down and he got healed. But I'm not going to bother the master over my little problem. You know, that guy couldn't walk. He was a paralytic. He couldn't even walk. That's the stuff that the master heals, not my aching knee. He's not going to, I know I've had a headache for 2 weeks, but that's not the stuff that the master deals with. Excuse me? Does it not say he numbers the hairs on our head? If he's numbering the hairs on our head, some of you the count is a little easier, but if he's numbering the hairs on your head, I believe he cares what happens to us. If that were not true, you could get a paper cut and bleed to death. Think about that one. Oh, what about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Folks, they came to see the show. They were in a spot of deception. You know why? They believed they had no need of the master. They came to see if they could catch him doing something wrong. But they didn't recognize their own need for healing. How many times do we think, yeah, I know they're having a prayer line at the front of the church, but you know, I don't really need anything. Really? Okay, you may not have a bladder full of cancer. You may not have a physical ailment that is dragging you down. Are you under stress? Is there a financial burden that is upon you? Is there a concern for a lost loved one? Well, yeah, but that's not really healing. Really? No, I'm good. I'll just carry it around with me. And when it falls off, I'll pick it back up. You know what? You can have him take it and throw it away completely if you'll just give it to him. That is healing. If he can take something that keeps you awake at night, and he can take it away from you, and you know in your spirit it's going to be okay because Jesus is on the job. Yes. I think that's healing. Yes. If he can take that financial situation and let you see that it is not hopeless, oh look, suddenly someone blesses your family. Or suddenly, oh, they found out they made a mistake on that bill. It wasn't $4,000, it was $400. Oh, they found out. Yes, guess what? There's a new credit counseling agency that moved into town, and they got your name, and they're going to help you to get out of debt. Folks, anything that removes the things that drag us down is a healing. It all comes through God. They may use people. They may use the miraculous, but it's all healing. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law sat there all proud and said, we don't have need of healing. We are the teachers of the law. Do you not know that? So many Christians sit in that same spot. I've been in this church since it was formed. I'm a pillar of this church. I have need of nothing. Boy, I wish I could be so sure of that. Take the blinders off and see what God can do for you. There's people walking around who have been in church their whole life and they still need salvation. Because they believe that the attendance in the church is their ticket to heaven. That's not going to get it. If you have not confessed your sin to Jesus Christ and called upon his name for salvation, you ain't making it. Period.
Tim?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I tell you something real quick?
Come on.
There was a lady at the Emmaus Bar.
Come here, so we can get this on tape. Come here. Green?
I was just going to say real quick, there was a lady at the Emmaus Walk that had been in church for 30 years. She'd grown up in it and drug her husband to church, whatever. But once she got to the Emmaus Walk and experienced the love of God, and it just opened up to her, and she realized she wasn't even saved. She got saved at the Emmaus Walk being in church for 30 years. And just listening to that made me think that actually really does happen. We're not making that up.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sister. That's good stuff there. Let's look at the man who was healed. How much criticism do you think he was listening to as he was being lowered down? What do they think they're doing? This isn't even their house. This is a rental. There goes my deposit. Great, thanks a lot. What's the matter with these people? Don't they know the master's trying to talk here? What do they think they're doing? Oh, like he's someone special. I've been waiting here in line for an hour to get up and see the master, and they're going to lower him down right in front of me. That's not fair. He's cutting line. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? I bet he was hearing it. But as he was being lowered down, there was a power at work. And I want to tell you something. God said, let's get serious about this for a minute. When God touched him and that man was healed, what happened? He got up, he took up his bed, and he glorified God. You know what? I think we as Christians fail to glorify God enough. Right back there, and I'm picking on you, Pastor, right back there, we should be glorifying God every day, the fact that he's even around. The devil has tried to take his life repeatedly. And you know what? The devil's a liar and God's a winner. And because of that, I'm believing God for complete healing in our pastor. Half ain't going to cut it. You say, well, yeah, but you know, look where he's come from. Indeed, look where he's come from. The doctors even tell him, you shouldn't be this far along. Good medicine? Good God.
Man, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's take off on a rabbit trail. Are you ready? Mark chapter 5. I like hearing them pages turn. Some of you know where we're going with this. Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Boy, isn't that the truth? Suffered many things from many physicians. Well, we could camp there a while, but we're going to go on. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples turned around in the crowd and said, "Excuse me." But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you. And you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Oh, that we could do that. Oh, that we would. How many times do we go before the Lord and we try to hide that one thing that he already knows? Because we don't even like to say it. We don't even want it to come out of our mouth, some of the things that we hide. But she, she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Her poor body was racked with pain. She was weak from the constant flow of blood that had come out of her body. It probably took every bit of effort that she had left just to get up off of her bed and go. Leviticus 15:19 says, it's Jewish custom that when a woman has an issue of blood, she is to set herself apart for a period of 7 days. She removes herself from family and friends. Anything she touches is considered unclean. If the issue of blood fails to stop, she is to continue to separate herself until the end, at which point she will continue another 7 days. We're all adults in here, so let's be honest about it. Should she have marital relations with her spouse, that person becomes unclean. How long has she had the affliction? 12 years. Boy, that helps to build a healthy marriage, doesn't it? Honey, you think maybe tonight, not this year. You know, the man probably divorced his wife because she was unable to meet the marital commitments. And under the law, that was an acceptable reason. Do I know that? No, I don't. What did it say? What about her children? Any children she maybe had before? They were to be separated. She was not to come into contact with them, or they became unclean. Not only was she racked with pain and weakness, but to be an outcast of society, to be someone whom, if they knew, would even shout it in the streets, unclean, unclean, that others would separate away from her. It was as bad as having leprosy. That's why when a woman was on that time, she separated herself. She was not to be in society. The poor woman, she didn't know what else to do. She had spent her life savings running from doctor to doctor. And then she heard about this guy. This prophet of God who was healing people. What have I got to lose? How dare her? This wretch of society dares to come into public around God-fearing Christians who love the Lord and make them unclean. How dare her? Sounds pretty hypocritical, doesn't it? Oh, welcome to the church. Welcome to the church. Swallow a camel and gag on a gnat. Why would she do such a thing? She knew the rules, but she came and pushed her way through, made all those who touched her unclean, and then, to reach out and touch the master. What was wrong with her? What was she thinking? Physically, mentally, and financially drained, she thought, what have I got to lose? She knew that there was a possibility that should they recognize she was unclean, they could become so enraged that they would stone her to death, and they had a right. According to them, they had a right because she had made them unclean. But she took that chance. After 12 years of being shunned by society, of the aches and pains in her body, the weakness, the financial ruin, knowing that she was never going to get that money back, what would she use for her golden years? Would she ever see her golden years? She said, I don't care. If I go and they find out and they stone me to death, my pain and agony ends. But should I touch the hem of his garment, and he touches me, and I'm healed, then it's all worth it. Either way, I'm going to get some relief. Either way. Bradley, would you come up here and help me? I want you to give one of these to everyone here. This is just a little glass red stone. I have a friend who is in the Christian motorcycle group, and he carries these around with him all the time. And he'll meet people. And he'll say, here, I want to give you something. And he'll give them that. And they'll say, what is that? And he'll say, that's the one drop of Jesus' blood that was shed just for you so that you could have salvation. But today, it's something different. Today, I want you to remember, I want you to take this home. I want you to carry it with you. And every time you reach in your pocket, I want you to remember that issue of blood. I want you to remember that despite what society said, Jesus Christ shed his blood even for that woman.
That's right. He sure did.
Despite what society said about her, and not only that, but he reached down and he healed her.
That's right.
I want you to take this with you, and I want you to carry it with you. And when you reach in and you grab that pocket full of change to get yourself a soda, maybe someone is going to say, what's that red thing? And then you can use what my buddy does. You know, I'm glad you asked that. That represents a drop of Jesus Christ's blood. And did you know he shed it just for you so that you could be saved? Here, you go ahead and have it. You'd be amazed what one little piece of glass can do. I had a young lady come in the Social Security office in Somerset, and I had one of these sitting there. And she said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "I have a friend who gives those out." And she says, "Does he ride a motorcycle?" I said, "Yes, he does." She said, "I got one at home." I said, "Why aren't you carrying it?" "No, I keep it at home because it's special." One piece of glass. She considered that so special that someone would share Jesus Christ with her just through that. It reminds her every time she looks at it that Jesus shed his blood for her. You can walk out of here and drop it in the trash can if you want. But you know what? I was reading something that said people remember more when they have a touchstone or a touch mark. I've told you before about the sermon I did on fruit of the Spirit and how I used those little soft, squishy plastic grapes and how I saw a gentleman 6 or 7 months after the sermon, and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out that grape. I said, "You still carry that?" And he said, "Absolutely." He said, "It's not the original." He said, "I lost it." And he said, "Then I went to a friend's house and they had some of those fake grapes and I asked him if I could take one. Because it's a touch mark." He said, every time that I go and I reach in my pocket, it reminds me that I need to show fruit of the Spirit of God. I want you to remember that. Yes, sir.
I carried a nail in my pocket.
The sacrifice that was made by Christ.
But again, it makes people think when they grab hold of it or they get the rattle around their pocket, it doesn't make them think about it.
That's a good one. There should be a song up there. I want you to play that song and I want you to listen to the words of this song. I can picture the woman as she's walking up to her Savior. Go ahead.
Just see your face and touch the healer's hem. Desperate, I push through the crowd. If I could touch just to ease my pain, just to know your name. Come my way, come my way, come my way.
Why?
I'm out of reach. I've got the faith to believe. Am I out of touch or out of reach? What would it take for you to walk towards me? I'm out of touch, out of reach, but I'm running towards you, and it's all I believe.
The great thing about it, we may be out of touch with him, but he's not out of touch with us. And all we have to do is to reach out, and he comes our way. We serve such a great God that even when we are not worthy, which we'll never be worthy, he makes us worthy by his precious blood. Both these stories have the same thing in common. Faith. Yeah. Faith to believe in healing.
Yeah.
In completeness.
Yeah.
In life. We live on this earth but once. But there's a difference between living and having life. Living means we go from day to day until we take our last breath. But having life means that we know why we're here and we know whom we serve. The first story. I can see the friends of the man standing around saying, "We've got to do something." He's gone from 180 pounds and now he's down to 80. We can't let him die. And they took action. They stepped through the door. Stop it. And the little woman, she had become so desperate. It was probably her last bit of energy to push through the crowd and to find her way to him and to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And suddenly, she was made whole. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." We need to get to the point of these people by following a few simple steps. The first is we need to realize that we have a need. Whether it's physical, spiritual, financial, we all need to recognize that we have need of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit operating in our life. And the next, take a step of faith. Are you content where you are? Are you pleased with your relationship with God or with someone else? Has there been hurts in the past that you left undone and they still drag you down today? Go back to step one. You have need. If you're not content with where you are and you don't like the fact that that situation, whatever it was, still haunts you and you still drag it around with you like a corpse, then it's time to take it to the Lord. Step out and ask Christ for your healing. Do the unthinkable. Go outside the box. Folks, I want to tell you something. I cannot believe if you check the healing manuals of the the day that Jesus lived in, that anywhere it said tear the roof off the house to lower your buddy down. They thought outside the box. They did the unthinkable. But because of it, their friend was healed. Step out and believe Jesus for your healing. Most of all, it doesn't say it in here. All right, put yourself in her spot. For 12 years, no one helped you. They couldn't. But Jesus did. Your issue of blood stopped. Your strength returned. Your hope returned. Your life returned. Oh, thank you, prophet. Appreciate it. I think not. I think they probably heard her over in the next county. I believe this woman told everybody about this Jesus. Oh, no, he was more than a prophet. He had to be the very Son of God. He healed me where men couldn't. He didn't shun me. He didn't stone me. He loved me. You should have seen the way he looked at me. Covered with dirt, as I reached out and I grabbed the hem of his garment, and he asked who it was, and I was so ashamed. And he loved me. He looked at me and he loved me. You should have seen me. And he made me whole. I believe she testified to the glory of God, and she glorified God in everything she spoke from that day forward, because she had been touched by the Most High God. When do we glorify Him? We come in here on Sunday, and for some of us, we raise our hands. For some of us, we don't, and that's okay. But when does God get His glory? In your everyday life. When you wake up and you say, "Lord, thank you for another day." You should say, "Lord, I'm so unworthy, but you are so great. And I praise you and I thank you, for you are worthy of our praise." And when you see that accident on the road and you see what used to be a car and you can't even tell what kind it is, you used to say, "Lord, have mercy. But I thank you it wasn't me. I thank you I get to see my family again tonight. Proclaim the good news. Glorify his name. There's a woman's healing conference coming up next month. You all know about it. I hope you got the brochures when you came in. Share those. Give those to someone. You know, we're having a luncheon afterwards to raise money for the funds to bring this woman in. I hope you'll all participate in that. But you know what? I don't want it to just be a woman's conference. I want it to be a conference where God is glorified and that people are healed. And when they leave here, they will shout and glorify his name. We don't need to say, well, that's a woman thing. It don't bother me. It doesn't pertain to me. I'm a man. Really. Are you happy with the way things are at home? Is everything hunky-dory? Well, yeah, Pastor, they are. Good. Send your wife anyway. Women, are you happy with the way things are at home? Yeah, go anyway. No, I'm not. You know what he does? Go. One of you is going to get healed either way. You know what? You may be going through a trial at home. And God may use this conference to heal you. Say, well, I'm not the problem. You know what? We're all the problem. Man, woman, and child, we all have problems. But the fact is, God can touch your heart to show you ways that you cannot even imagine that will make a difference in a relationship. I don't have the answers, but God does, and I know he's going to be here. I'm asking you to do this. If I can get in the right pocket here, we'll find it. When you reach in there and you touch that, I'm asking you to ask God that he will glorify himself through that healing conference, that souls will be set free and lives will be changed. Every time you touch that, I don't care if you lay it on your counter at home. Every time you see it, I'm going to ask you to pray for this conference. I'm going to ask that you set aside time to fast and pray for this conference. Well, I can't. I'm on a special diet. Fine. Turn the television off and spend that time talking to him. Why don't we see the miracles of God like the old people used to see it? Because we're not praying like the old people used to pray. We're not putting forth the effort. You want to see God move? Move towards God. It's simple. How many of you ladies would like to see God move in miraculous ways for your family? Pray. Fast. Call upon the name of the Lord and come to the conference. You know what amazes me? I love every one of you, so if I step on your toes, I'm sorry. I'm guilty of it too. This is a giving church. This is the most giving church. If they see a need, they'll be there. But if you put a sign-up sheet, they're not going to sign up. They just don't do it. I don't know if it's a lack of commitment or what. But I'm asking you, ladies, please, please sign up for this conference. They need a head count for this conference. And you will be blessed. Men, how many of you right now are going to say, I'll come here and I'll help serve the ladies. I'll do whatever they need me to do. Just me. Okay. Hold on. We got two. Did I have a third back here? Can I get a fourth? Come on. Come on, brothers. Don't leave me hanging here. I got a fourth. Okay. How about a fifth? Come on. All right, we got a fifth. Rest of you losers? No, I didn't say that. Now, guys, these women that day are in here concentrating on God. We need to be out there serving them. Whatever. If they come up and say, guess what, guys, thank you, but no, we don't want you around. That's okay, too. But we're letting them know we're here for you. We will be here for you. We will serve in whatever capacity you want us to do. Why? Because we love you. And Christ loves you. And we want your focus to be on the things that happen in here rather than the things that happen back there. For those of you who were too afraid to raise your hands, we still accept donations. Come on in. All right? I'm going to ask you right now, just to bow your heads. How many of you right now, and folks, this is the time to pay attention. How many of you right now feel the need for God to touch something in your life? I see a couple hands there. I want those who are in the prayer team, I want you, the prayer force, come on up here. I want the prayer force up here right now. All one of you. You know what? God's in the house. Come on up here. Miss Laverne, would you come up here? I want those who lifted their hands up to come up here. I want you, if you have a need, male, female, child, I don't care. If you have a need, I want you to come up here. We're going to pray for you today. Brother Bob, can you come up here, sir? I'm leaving our pastor at the back of the church because I don't think he needs to be up here right now. He needs to rest. But I know his prayers are up here right now too. Bob, would you come up here and pray for us as well? Before we begin praying, I'm going to ask God to be over this prayer for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you now, give us the words to say, to touch the hearts and the minds of these people, that the power of God will flow through us, and Lord, that your move will be made. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're going to do. And we ask it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brad.
Check. There I am. Whew. All right, now I'm all right. I'm all right. That's the power of God. Anyway, you who have been on Facebook at all, there's a little 13-year-old boy. Now, this church prayed for this little girl named Skylar, and she is recovering. She is in a regular room eating and drinking, and she nearly died. Everybody started praying for this little girl named Skylar. There's a little boy now by the name of Lane. And I want this church to pray for Lane because they're asking churches to pray for him. And you know what I want you to do? Now, you may think this is funny, but this will be for Lane, and he'll see it. But I want you all to come up here, and I want you to hold up your button. Yes, yes. I want you to hold up your button, your thumbs up, and that is for Lane to know that New Life for the Nations is praying for him. So just come on up here. Come on, we're going to take a picture, and we're going to send it to him. Everybody. Thumbs up. One hand hold your button, and the other hand hold your thumb up, if you can do that. Amen. I want the kids, too. Come on, thumbs up for Lane. He's battled this stuff for 4 years, and it's time for his body to be delivered, isn't it? You believe that? I don't know. I don't know if he can do it real quick or not, honey. This is for Lane. Y'all may have to get closer together. Can you get him, Kens? I know Glenn's got it. He's got his camera up there. All right. All right. Now, this is for Lane. Come on, Pastor. Come on. Come on, Sam and Alain. Come on up. That's right. This is a little video going to be going to Lane. Lane, I want you to know that we ministered this morning on healing. And we're holding up little red marbles that represent the blood of Jesus Christ. And we say thumbs up to you, Lane, that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. And everybody says amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Thumbs up for Lane. Yeah. Okay, thumbs up for Lane. You ready? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. All righty. You ready? Count down, Kens. We haven't eaten yet, so there's plenty of room. All right, you ready? Thumbs up, Lane. Amen, amen. We just practiced what Brother Tim preached this morning. Amen, brother. Now,
where'd Pastor go? Oh, Pastor, would you mind saying the blessing over the food? All right, folks, we're gonna say the blessing over the food, and then you.